Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my lips to speak the message that you've laid on my heart, Lord, for this church body, for those who will listen in the future, those listening online too, that this would produce fruit for your kingdom, Lord, and change. Change in life that we need, Lord. Removing the dross in our life. That the silversmith that you, Lord, would be able to see your reflection. I ask that, Lord, you would take out any distractions. Give me the strength to communicate, Lord, your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. John chapter 15. Abiding branches bear fruit. John 15 verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately about all the things that are going on in this world. I feel like the tensions are high everywhere. The world economy is certainly treading water. And we do see things prophetically unfolding. We also have everyday life in which we are all impacted in the daily grind of life to provide for our families, broken relationships, broken marriages, trying to continue in marriages, children, local authorities, our leaders, our employers. They all make decisions that impact our daily life, along with the fast pace of everyday life where we're frantically, we're moving at a constant pace. And in society today where things seem to even be speeding up more and more, we get distracted really easy. And then at the end of the day, you just get to the point where you feel pretty exhausted. And I know that many can feel like they're walking on a tightrope, just waiting to be surprised or caught off guard with another trial or another set of events. And we're living in a time where that feeling of weariness can creep in like unannounced out of nowhere. You know, you could be fine, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like, whoa, I just, like a ton of bricks just suddenly got put on your shoulder. Exhausted perhaps, maybe even some losing heart. And the key to all this is to find the proper perspective in life. From a worldly perspective, the squeezing or the pressing trials, they look to like crush the hope and the trust out of us. That pressure in the life, it feels like a snake that constricts. And every time you take a breath, it gets tighter and tighter. And in our humanity, we feel as if the trials and the squeezing are like going to be for all eternity. And we ask, why has this been appointed to us? But the godly perspective says this, that the pressure you're under is not meant to crush you. God is looking to preserve you. He is looking to do something. In the end, he is looking to create something more precious and something beautiful inside each and every one of his children. So as a Christian, we have to be reminded of our bright hope for tomorrow. It may not be directly tomorrow, but we have a promising future in the Lord. It's a living hope. It's alive and it's well. And I understand that the world itself can feel like it's falling apart socially. It feels like it's falling apart politically. The world is craving leadership. It has a void in it. And I think that is all by design. But our God is unchanging. So in reality, all the things are falling into place exactly as he has ordained it. As bad as things can get, he's still our rock. Amen? Right. He's still our rock. He won't fail you. He won't abandon you. His promises are yes and amen. He doesn't leave you to fight alone. He gives you equipment. Yes. There's an equipping that happens. But Satan loves to use fear to box you and I into a corner so we're no longer fruitful for the kingdom. Fear is mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible. And fear and anxiety creeps in many times throughout our life. And when we lose our focus and we get fixated on that fear then dictates, that becomes our expression. We're not being strong in the Lord. We're letting fear dictate our circumstances and letting fear, we're walking in fear. And it's being perpetuated by the world. Does anyone notice how like the news cycle is just constantly, very little positive, maybe 10% positive, 90% fear driven. That's the world system. And it can become contagious to believers if they let their guard down. So the answer is we should not fear. Do not fear. When fear comes crashing in, and it does, right? When you feel the carnality rising up, what are we supposed to do? When a fear rugs ugly eye lies throwing at us, we're supposed to go vertical. We don't look horizontally at our circumstances. We cast down. That's what 2 Corinthians says. We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ. You focus on the Lord, not on the enemy. You need to be aware of the enemy, right? You focus on the Lord, not your circumstances. You change your focus, you change your future. You stand on Jesus Christ, the solid rock. And when we do, you become more aware of the times and the intents of the world system and the wiles of the enemy, his schemes. Because evil's rampant, folks. It is rampant. And you, beloved, are on the front lines. It is a spiritual war. We are on the front lines. We are soldiers. And at times you will grow weary. It does happen. But you can't give up the fight. It's a full 12 rounds of a boxing match, and you got to go to the end. Yeah. As Rocky said, or to Drago, to the end, to the end. So you're going to stay on your feet until the bell rings. Amen? Because the stage setting's going on at a frenzied pace. If you know your Bible and you are watching things unfold, you see that things are moving very close. We're getting a lot closer to the end of the age here, the prophetic word coming to life before our eyes. And there's going to be pain along the way. The world is following the prince of the power of the air. And he has a dark path. And so for us, we need to stand against the currents of this life. Like the salmon. A few years ago, I taught on the salmon swimming against the currents. You know, they go all the way, work through the Pacific Ocean, against the currents, up the river, to lay their eggs. And, you know, eventually they expire. But, you know, our job is to swim against the currents of this life. Because Scripture's clear. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is in 2 Timothy 3:13. And even those who have lived their lives ignoring God, ignoring his word and his warnings, are becoming aware that there's something broken in this world. There's something wrong, something's off. And they're starting to maybe realize that it's not repairable by any measure. They will be deceived to find that someone will have a solution. That's the man of lawlessness. But it's a polarized world. Yet, we are called to be salt and light to this world. Are we not? Yes. And you are called to be salt and light even when you are feeling pressed on all sides, when you're feeling perplexed and you're feeling struck down because you're not destroyed. So you look at things with spiritual eyes. Yes, you are to be watchmen. Yes, you are to warn. Yes, you're to blow the trumpet. Yet don't get caught up in the next news cycle of the day, looking for the next big announcement. Don't get caught up in the times and lose your focus and ultimately lose your peace. That happens because you're not abiding. We're to occupy and redeem the time. That's what Ephesians 5:15 says. See that you don't walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. These days are evil. But as we occupy and redeem the time, we need to remember what the Lord said. Abide in him. Abide in him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said these words, and to understand the context, in chapter 13 of John, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is eating the Last Supper. And then Judas sneaks out to betray Jesus. And we watch as Jesus comforts his disciples, and they're kind of confused about what is coming, even though he's been telling them all along. And Jesus then, in chapter 14, promises to send the Holy Spirit to comfort and help his believers. And Jesus reminds them in chapter 15, 16, don't be fearful for what's to come. Don't be fearful for what's to come. But if you put yourself in their shoes, they've walked with him for 3 years. Think about how the disciples felt. Fear comes crashing in as they watch Jesus getting hauled off, falsely accused, tortured, and hung to die on the cross. For 3 years, they've been with him. They've walked with him. They've talked with Jesus. They've asked questions. They've shared meals. They've looked to Jesus for direction. They've looked to him for wisdom. How about you and I? We see this world that we've lived in, and we've enjoyed living in this life the Lord has blessed us with, but we see things crumbling around us before our very eyes. We see a falling away happening in the church. A departure from the truth. We see signs of the shadow of the tribulation aligning before our eyes. And if we look at those circumstances, we can be overwhelmed. And just as disciples, like, how would they abide now that the Lord was gone? He's been taken from them. I'm sure they had deeper grief than they could imagine. Feeling pretty lost, hopeless, misguided. All very real emotions they experience and we experience this day too. How can I abide in the Lord if the economy crumbles? And you see wars and rumors of wars. I feel alone. Confused. I get weary. I get anxious. How do I abide when it's all falling apart? That word abide in the Greek is to continue, or in the Hebrew is yasab, which is to remain. It's to stay. It's to dwell. In the Greek, it is meno, which is to be as one. Isn't that interesting? To be as one. We abide with Jesus, being in closeness with him through fellowship and being sustained by him while we surrender our lives to him and labor for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We're to be steadfast and faithful in the relationship. He's faithful to us. While we look for the Lord. It's a continuing state, abiding. It's hour by hour. That's the nature to it. It's a constant looking to Jesus through Scripture, being fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit, which he's given us. Paul said it in Philippians 3, is to know him. To know him.
Right.
We've been made right because of God, this free gift of salvation. We want to love him and worship him because of that. That's what we did this morning. We're new creations in Christ. We've been freed from sin. We've been purchased on the auction block. And so it should be our desire to remain in him, to love him, and to obey him. That's the proof. John 14:23, Jesus answered, said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He's going to be tabernacling with us. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. 1 John 2:6, John says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. You see that? Now you can understand how to be as one, to be like him, to imitate him. You know, when you're in relationship with someone, you start growing together and you start acting like one another. Like, you know, you finish each other's sentences, you have these thoughts, these things that as you're kind of growing together, it's because you're growing in your relationship. Can you say the same about you and the Lord? So, abiding in these times as the world seems to be falling apart, you need to be aware. You need to be aware of situational awareness is very important today. Okay? You need to understand that. But situational awareness also with perfect peace, tempered with self-control. Tempered with self-control. And how do you do that? How do we abide and have that self-control and have that perfect peace? Well, one, you gotta get in the Word. You gotta get in the Word. God preserved this living Word for every generation. And guess what? It's an equipment. The living Word equips us for surviving these days. It's not enough to get it on Sunday. You need it every day. Yes. You need it every day. I've told you this before. When you wake up in the morning, start your morning with a prayer. You know, before you grab that phone and start looking at email or something else, you know, if you read your Bible on your phone, go to Bible Gateway. It gives you a verse of the day. Start your day off getting in the Word. Like, let that start your day. Don't let that crummy email or some text message throw you off the rest of your day. Start in the Word. Because abiding in Christ means allowing His Word to fill our minds. It directs our wills and transforms our affections. Something happens, you suddenly start not caring about some of the things you used to care about. There's new things. There's new desires in your heart. You're a new creation, a new heart with new desires that He has given you. And so in reading your Bible, you will be spending more time learning more about who He is and what He has done for His people and His children, which you are. And this expands your knowledge of the Lord, knowing Him, strengthening your relationship. When it's bad, when things feel bad, you can recall on His faithfulness. We have spent a lot of time in the Old Testament this past year. Those great stories of faith, looking to the promise ahead. There's no one hitching from the Old Testament. It's a foreshadow of what was to come. This red, constant, crimson thread all throughout. You realize that His words are true. And you need to keep it in our heart. The parable of the sower, the stony ground, in Luke 8:15, it says, the ones that fell in the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart. They keep it and bear fruit with patience. You know, you don't just plant the seed and tomorrow the tomatoes are grown. It takes work, doesn't it? Your garden takes work. But then you have awesome fruit that comes with patience and work, labor. Just doesn't happen. All of a sudden you have all these tomatoes every year, the harvest. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. And it follows with this: there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You talk about fear of the Lord there. That scripture should give you the fear of the Lord. He sees it all, folks. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what God's ways, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the word does for us. That helps us to stay connected to the vine. Okay? Also in prayer. How do you grow in relationship? Abide, right? Prayer. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 is that scripture. Going to God with thanksgiving and request. It's an important element. Prayer, and I was talking to my mom about this on vacation. Like, prayer is not just you talking the whole time. Prayer is also listening to the voice of God, listening to what he is speaking to you. Sometimes you gotta bite the tongue and just say nothing. Be still. Be still. And it's praying without ceasing is in a constant attitude of prayer, even when moments, when you have those down moments, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm suddenly like, I'm going back vertical. It's remind me, you know, hey, I'm talking to him. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Next is in walking in the Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has been sent to indwell and abide, sit in each believer. And guess what? The Spirit starts to transform us. And he leads us in truth. The Holy Spirit cultivates these good fruits and these character traits that are godly. It convicts us of sin and produces transformation, metamorphosis. Seeking and walking with the Holy Spirit teaches us to a better abide with Christ. That's why Paul said in Galatians, I say then, in this chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another. So do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Down to verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There it is, right? Are you seeing those fruit, those pieces of the fruit in your life? If not, you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. You're walking in something else. That old carcass, that flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And verse 24 says, "What those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." In 2 Peter, he talks about giving diligence, right? This very reason, giving, in 2 Peter 1, verse 5, it says, this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. You won't be like that fig tree that didn't produce the fruits. Mm-hmm. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, therefore, beloved, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You know, we've been chosen to live in a time as this. Such a time as this. Such a time as this. Are the times hard? Yes. Are they going to get harder? Yes. But we have a hope that's alive. Romans 15, 13, for those walking in the Spirit, says this: now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by what? The power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Abound is, in the Greek, is periuso. It's overflowing, unyielding, abounding. Because when a cup is overflowing, it doesn't have to try to overflow. It just sits under the source and it just keeps coming. It just keeps bubbling over. That's abiding, folks. So we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as He directs our path, then we can get on doing kingdom business. Amen. First things first, right? First things first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. First. First things first. I know my mom loves that song. First things first. Are you seeking Him? All the other things could add on to. And that's not the health and wealth gospel. I'm not talking about these things. But the Lord knows what you need, not what you want. There's a lot of things we want in this world, but He gives you what you need. And if you seek His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing things, He's going to direct your steps. He's going to direct your pathway. And by doing kingdom business, you're telling others about Him, what He's done for you.
Amen. Preach it.
If you love others, Jesus instructs us to tell others about Him. Because
right.
Guess what?
Right.
And a lot of churches don't want to say it, but hell is a very real place.
Yes.
It's a very real place where people spend an eternity. There's not 5 years in, you know, purgatory or anything like that. It is an eternity separated from God where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus gave us the Great Commission to go out and make disciples. Matthew 28. Share in the sufferings of the gospel. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:8. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. And as believers, we're supposed to gather with other branches.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you ever see a healthy tree with just one branch? No. Branches of a vine gathered together for strength and support.
Yeah.
God created this body, and where one part hurts, you know, we feel it. We feel it as a body. He knew we would need each other to get through this life together, sharing in victory, sharing in times of toil, sharing in times when we've lost a loved one, whatever it is, right? We hold that confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promises is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling, gathering ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We are seeing that day approach. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. I know I've shared that scripture a lot lately, but for those listening who are living, not coming to church on Sunday, and you could be here, you need to get here. You need to get in church. John 15, 12, that you love one another. This is my commandment, just as I have loved you. We are to love one another, folks. And we are to hate the world system.
Right.
You are to hate the world system.
Yes.
The world is on a runaway freight train, and we know Satan is the ruler of this world,
yes,
right? And the world's kingdoms. Remember, he offered them to the Lord. All these are mine. I give them to you if you just bow down and worship. No. No. No, I'm going to be the rock that smashes all those.
Amen.
And the system's working, and it's now working on overtime to change, to really blot out all memory of God. And so we need to hate this life. We are citizens of heaven. We are pilgrims passing through. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And guess what? The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God, here it is again, abides forever. So we look and we trust in him. That abiding also is waiting on the Lord. We're looking to him, right? Go back to the Old Testament. Abiding in Christ involves waiting upon the Lord, right? One of the favorites, Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. That weariness creeps in. All of a sudden you get a new strength. You've tapped into a source. It's this patient expectancy. I'm being patient waiting on the Lord, but I'm expecting him. I'm waiting on him. And it's not idleness, nor is it anxious striving. No, he's not. Right? Titus 2:11-14. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. For those that aren't abiding, what happens is they are ashamed when he appears. John actually says that. 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Mm-hmm. Abiding in him is the only way not to be ashamed. That's what Scripture's saying. If a branch is not abiding in the vine, Jesus warns us later in that passage, right? What does it say? If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That falling away, I'm hearing more of this like deconstructing from the faith that's out there. It's like departure from truth too. Some of the churches that are out there that have just gone completely away from the gospel and talking about what the Lord has done and forgiveness of sin, and it's gone into like just total social issues and it's a departure from the truth. It's a departure from the truth. That's all I can say. But for us, if we're abiding, listen, and going back into verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, guess what? He prunes. That it may bear more fruit. Listen, pruning is not fun. You know, you cut some things back. It hurts a little bit. It can be uncomfortable. And it can be painful, but it's necessary. You have to cut back so then the new growth can come in. John 15:11 says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That's one of the promises we have in abiding in him. Our joy may be full. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He is preparing a place for you and I. And you can have perfect peace. You can draw on supernatural strength by his grace. You can walk in the moment of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in the end, you will see that it is worth it. So remind yourself of the day that you're going to see perfect face to face. When he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Where you are right now is not our home. It's not your home. We're being prepared for eternity, folks. The enemy of our soul uses deception and outright lies to lead the masses astray. And we don't use deceptive tactics. We don't look to manipulate people or situations. You share the truth that has set you free. We point to Jesus Christ. We let our light shine and we abide in Him. The light shines even brighter as the darkness grows. Even when it gets tough. Even when the pressure gets so intense, like you feel like you're going to crack. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. We are the container. We're a container. We're the vessel. And limited. We're limited. But just as He is the vine, we are the branches. The Lord has given us His very best. He gave us His Son, and He gave us the Spirit that raised Him from the dead. The same Spirit that Ruach HaKodesh. So, your strength is limited. His strength is unlimited. The vine is a continuous source to the branch. And as Katie said last week, the trials that we're going through are preparing us for the time prophesied in Acts 2. This is that which the prophets have spoken of, that the power of Christ may reign in me and that He will be glorified and others would come to the saving knowledge and grace of Him. It has nothing to do about your might. It has nothing to do about your craftiness. It has nothing to do about your own personal knowledge. It's the excellence of power that it may be of God, not us. Because people are watching you. I said that before. People are looking for authenticity. When we get exposed to the days ahead, that there's persecution, troubles, and trials, let your faith be exposed. Mm-hmm. Live it out. Mm-hmm. Let His life be manifested. Stephen did it just as he was being stoned. Mm-hmm. Paul preached all the way up to the end before he took his head and he said, hey, you know, take this one. I got a crown coming. The intensity of the struggles will continue. Stay vertical. Praise the Lord in the storm. Those contents inside that earthen vessel produce that pearl, right? And you've taken the pearl. You've given it to get the pearl of great price. And it proves the genuineness of your faith. It reveals it is not I that live, but Christ in me. And you're not always going to be perfect, folks. But as our faith is revealed, it reflects that we have an eternal view. An eternal view. We grow in sanctification. We believe, regardless of the pain that we experience in life, we have victory in Jesus Christ. And that we know that to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So whether that means you get to go home early, because He calls you, and you've breathed your last breath, or the trumpet of God sounds, and that shout of acclamation from the Lord Himself to call us home occurs, and He raptures His bride. Either way, you will be with the Lord forevermore. So don't fall in despair. What God is trying to do is to get you to come to the end of yourself. And that we have come to the reality that we've reached the limits of our own capacity, and we can do nothing on our own. We are to turn to Him. He says, come to me. Come to me, right? He is the vine. We are the branches. And God uses us and wants to take you beyond your capabilities for His glory so that you can be used for His kingdom. The key is to abide. To remain as one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus, and I thank You, Lord, for this word. Father, if we've missed areas this past week, reveal that in our heart. Chasten us, some changes that we need to make. That we would walk closely with You, Lord, renewing our mind daily this week. And Lord, give us opportunity to share the truth to others. There's many people looking for truth. Some are resistant, Lord. Some sow seed, some water, Lord. You give the increase. Thank you for this time and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.